Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Blood Play is the final show on the NECO stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival this season. The show is created by the Debate Society, a Brooklyn-based company that creates new plays through the collaboration of Hannah Boss, Paul Thoreen, and Oliver Butler. The Debate Society was awarded a Village Voice Best of Award for Best Argument for Devised Theater 2010, and the trio of theater artists are 2011 Sundance Institute Fellows. Oliver Butler joins us now to tell us more about Blood Play. In New York, Mr. Butler has directed the world premieres of The Lapsburg Layover, Buddy Cop 2, Cape Disappointment, Christmas with the Flamingos, and several other productions. He was the assistant artistic director of the Berkshire Theater Festival, where he directed The Einstein Project and This Is Our Youth. He's assisted directors including Joe Bonney, Pam McKinnon, and John Rando. And in 2004 and 2005, he was a participating director in Lincoln Center's Director's Lab. Oliver Butler, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So first things first, tell us about how the Debate Society was formed and then a little bit about the process by which you create your original works.
Well, I met Hannah and Paul in the early 2000s. We were both, all of us were making theater in downtown New York. And I came and I saw a reading of a play that they had begun creation of. I went and I saw a reading of it at the in the basement of the drama bookshop, and I was really blown away. It was this two-person play called A Thought About Raya that was based on the writings of this Russian absurdist, Daniel Harms, and I loved it. I thought their performances were incredible, and I think I knew that they were people that I really wanted to work with, so I approached them, and I told them I wanted to work with them, and they were actually not all that interested in working with a director, not me in particular, just they were this like really tight unit and they wanted to continue doing what they had been doing. And so I sort of slowly wooed them with food and with conversation and compliments and all the things that you do to try and like get people to want to work with you. And pretty soon after that, they invited me to work with them and we made that play together. And I took what was like a half-hour piece that they had originally done in college where they met at Vassar, and we turned it into just slightly over an hour-long piece that we performed in New York, and it went really well, and we ended up with a little bit of money left over, primarily because our theater got shut down in the final weekend of performances, and we got our entire rental money back. Mm-hmm. We moved the show to another theater, but it was sort of like this huge disaster whereby we ended up with our entire rental fee back, which ended up being the seed money for our second show, which is where we formed the company, and we've been making plays ever since.
Could you speak a little bit to the unique, I wouldn't say formula, but method by which you guys develop the works?
Sure. Well, what we do, and, you know, this changes with every play a little bit, but I'll try and give you sort of a general overview.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to spend about a year and a half to 2 years making a play. And when we start, Hannah, Paul, and I, the three of us are equal creators and researchers and dramaturgs. We usually have some sort of an idea of something that we're excited about, but we have no idea what the show is going to be. So we take that idea and we start researching. We go out and we find video and we find images and we find text that also, for some reason, resonates for us in the moment, sometimes in relation to that starting piece. So you're finding all this like corollary information and you're sharing it with each other. And then out of that, the conversations that happen is, you know, we end up finding other source things in the research that we bring in that resonates between all three of us. And that slowly becomes this ever-growing pot of research of what the play will be. And this is all still before knowing exactly like what the characters might be or exactly what the narrative might be. You end up with this sort of like collective sense of like what is in the world of the play. Now, Hannah and Paul, they are playwrights as well as actors. And in this process, they do some writing. But a lot of times the writing, you don't even know exactly what like what the writing is for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's these like little words or phrases. You have no idea who says it. But again, it's something that we intuitively know is a part of the world of the play. Oddly enough, some of that earliest writing, that stuff that's created in what would be like an artistic vacuum, oddly tends to be the stuff that makes it all the way to the end for some reason. But that's certainly not a given. You know, we throw out most of what we create, and we end up slowly focusing down on the things that resonate most importantly to us. So over the course of this year and a half, you could imagine the first 6 months is nothing but research and sharing with, like, little idea creation. And then we shift into these periods of, like, really intense work where we're in the room together trying to create something that might resemble a draft of a script with some sort of a presentation at the end. Let's say, like, a 3-week period followed by a presentation, you know, something that sort of puts the fear of God in you to force you to, you know, turn this mass of something into, like, a focused story.
Right.
And so then in series of those periods, usually in collaboration with a theater like Williamstown, or we've developed plays with Sundance, and we're working on a play for Playwrights Horizons, and we're working at Ars Nova, in collaboration with other organizations, we have these periods of intense work followed by presentation, and a series of those leads us to having a final script, which Hannah and Paul write. And I eventually direct, and our roles sort of sift out into those sort of more traditional formats.
How does Blood Play come to be on the NECO stage at Williamstown this season?
Well, super long. It's maybe one of my oldest relationships. In the theater, I was an apprentice at Williamstown in 1998, and that's where I met Jenny Gersten when she was a producer for Michael Ritchie. And I didn't even know I wanted to be a director then. I worked here for a summer as an acting apprentice, and I left with this idea that I might want to direct plays. Now, about 6 years later, I had just met Hannah and Paul at the reading of The Thought About Raya. We had just started our company, and I reconnected with Jenny Gersten, who was working in New York City. And, you know, I just started inviting her to our work. I don't know if she's seen every play that our company has done, but she has seen most of them, and at least all of them in the last 6 years or so. So I developed a relationship there, and, like, we've stayed friends, and she's stayed involved in our work and been a really big supporter of ours. I mean, I think I even invited Jenny to one of those early readings of Blood Play sometime last year before we premiered it, but we ended up premiering the play at this tiny theater in Bushwick, Brooklyn, called the Bushwick Star, which, if you come and see, when you see the set at Williamstown, that exact set was built with an inch of tolerance to fit into this tiny Brooklyn theater. So we did that play there. Jenny came and saw it, and we talked afterwards. And we then, after that production closed, we worked on touring it, partially with the support of the New England Foundation for the Arts, that has been supporting devised theater companies, which we fall under the category of devised ensemble-made theater. They're supporting work that's made in an ensemble process for further tour. So we had built the set to tour. We had built the whole production so that it could relatively easily pack into a truck and sort of go on and do some other productions. And it was somewhere in that process that we talked to Jenny, who had seen it and really enjoyed the play, and talked to her about the possibility of bringing it up to Williamstown this summer. And it was this spring that we talked about it, and we figured out a way to make it happen.
You mentioned that at a certain point in the process, the roles sift out into the more conventional roles of the writers and actors, and you're the director. The cast includes 6 actors, 2 of whom are Hannah and Paul, the writers, your collaborators. Do the other actors join the process once the conventional sifting has settled?
It really depends. In this specific situation, two of the other actors, well, one of the other actors, Michael Cyril Creighton, who plays Morty, he's been in about 4 of our plays. He's a wonderful early development collaborator. He's someone who we don't hesitate to bring in very early to help us develop, you know, the world of the play. And Hanlon Smith Dorsey, who plays Sam, he also came in relatively early and worked with us on at one of the early development periods. So he was involved, and Michael was involved in the period where we developed the games and the drinks. A lot of those drinks that Morty makes, which are all invented drinks, he worked with me and the props designer in rehearsals, in early development rehearsals, to figure out actually what went into the drinks. We do bring people in pretty early, sometimes before we've sifted out into those more conventional roles. But there are other performers, such as Birgit Hupik, who was there for the original premiere of the play, but she came in for the final period of rehearsal. And then you have Emma Galvin, who plays Ira. She actually joined us when we remounted the play at the Public Theater in January for the Under the Radar Festival, so she wasn't even there for the original premiere. So we do like to bring people in early. I think we tend towards reaching out to people and even writing for very specific voices. You know, the character of Morty was created with Michael Cyril Creighton in mind. And I think because Hannah and Paul are actor playwrights, and they have, since they've started writing, been writing for their own voices, they really excel when they have a specific actor in mind for a role, because you create it completely customized for that person.
As you mentioned, and as you know, I saw the play on Saturday, and I would be hard-pressed to describe it concisely to one who wasn't familiar with it, but you've had a little more practice at that, of course, than I have. Can you try to describe it for the listening audience in a
sure.
sort of summary?
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for coming to see the show.
Of course.
Blood Play takes place in the early 1950s in a basement bar in Skokie, Illinois. We never directly reference Skokie, but it is the place that we went and visited and researched, and it was the place we always had in mind for this play. And it takes place in the basement bar of this newly built ranch house in a neighborhood that is also recently newly built, where Jewish families are now moving from the south side of Chicago to the suburbs to live in their own homes for the first time. So in our play, on what is the eve of a really big party that the hostess, Bev, played by Hannah Boss, is having for all the ladies in her neighborhood as a way to sort of fit into the neighborhood. This is the eve of that party. She sort of set her whole house up, gotten the basement bar ready, and on the next day, the entire neighborhood's going to come over, and it's going to be her coming out in her new life in this suburban neighborhood. But on the night before, the serendipitous party breaks out because of a bunch of unforeseen circumstances, and neighbors come over, strangers come over, and this unforeseen but like totally delightful party breaks out in the basement where the parents play games and they drink drinks, and they generally act like children, and they connect and make friends, and I mean, sort of the beginning of the new life is formed. Now, at the same time, one of the kids, it's Bev and Morty's kid, is camping out in the backyard. And, you know, without giving anything away,
right.
He's an outcast, and he has been attacked by his friends or by the other boys in the neighborhood. And he's camping by himself outside, and he is tuning in to much more ancient, much darker forces. I think that the play itself tracks adults behaving like children and the sort of like the fun and joy and exuberance of making new friends in a brand new suburban neighborhood, while it also tracks a connection that one little boy is making with ancient dark spirits to try and bring some sort of solace to an outsider. So it's sort of a two-part show.
It runs on the Nico stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival through August 18th. It invites a great deal of discussion, as I observed, with you in the lobby and other audience members hoping to discuss with you and understand better. It is fascinating and thought-provoking, and I thank you very much for speaking with me about it today.
Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again soon.
The Debate Society's Blood Play runs on the Nico stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival through August 18th. To learn more, visit wtfestival.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.